place. So, mixed emotions, but we're moving towards our yet next to be, which is going to be bigger and better. And I'm talking about bigger and better in the way of consciousness. So today, the name of this sermon is Name Me Again. What does that really say? You'll hear about it as my talk unfolds. It's also White Stone Ceremony Sunday, so I have interwoven the talk in with meditation. So things are going to be a little bit different today, but I will always tell you where we are, and you're going to go with the flow, yes? All right. So the significance of White Stone. The ceremony is actually an ancient ritual. And when Jesus lived among us, when someone had served their time in prison or in bondage of any kind, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, they were given a white stone when they were released from that bondage or when they perceived that they no longer had to suffer. So our white stone ceremony today provides an opportunity for each of us to be released from our self-imposed prisons, bondage, feeling of separation. We were all given a white stone as we entered. If you weren't, make sure you collect yours because you're going to need it at a certain part in the service this morning. And this white stone is to signify our freedom, our liberty. Freedom and liberty, you all. So the scripture that I'm going to reference is Revelations 2:17. In Revelations, John talks about the people being given a new name. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now, this ear is not referring to these physical ears, but rather the ear of the soul, the inner ear. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what Spirit is saying to the churches. The churches is anybody who's represented here. So what is Spirit saying to you uniquely and specifically? Because there could be one message, but there are many people, so therefore many different interpretations of that message. And in that message is something that is unique to you and only you. It also means listen. Get out of your head. Put the intellect aside for just a moment. I don't know about any of you all, but I live in my head. I'm always thinking. And so I have to exercise discipline to listen with that inner ear and to be present to the messages that are coming to and through me from Spirit. The way that we make that trip from the head to the heart sometimes is our only mode of transportation out of bondage. And this comes in the silence. This comes in meditation and contemplation. And I'm hearing centering, all of these different terms for the same practice. It's very simple. Be still and know. Be still and know that I am God. So that's what was referenced in Revelation 2:17 in that particular scripture. Being in the stillness, praying and meditating are tools that we have to transcend life's experiences. But there are other tools. Tools to help us to overcome and to correct this erroneous thinking of our ego. And Butch talks a lot about our ego. And see, it's our ego that gives us these ideas that we don't have enough, we aren't enough, and that these challenges and circumstances that we are experiencing came to stay, they didn't come to pass. All of that is of the ego. But we can quiet the voice of the ego through denials and affirmation. Now, we use affirmation quite a lot. But, you know, sometimes we need to deny before we can get to that place where the affirmation really has any significance for us. So what is a denial? It's the mental act of knowing that any negative condition need not be. Denial clears the way for realization of truth. It is the wiping out of wrong thinking and reasoning. It is a preparatory process we can go through to build up the positivity within us, and then we are prepared to constructively affirm that which we want as our truth. The need for denial ceases as thought rises to spiritual perception. So again, out of the ego, we perceive things in the physical, in the material world. But when we transcend that, then we are discerning aspects of our lives through spiritual perception. Affirmations. We do them all the time. They are to affirm that it is so. So every time we close out a prayer, a meditation within unity, we say, and so it is. We are affirming that that is our reality. So we are always affirming that which we want. An affirmation helps us to maintain this belief, this conviction, this truth. And it leads our mind to that state of consciousness where it accepts what it wishes to believe. So when we use these tools, we do so with the intention of training our minds to connect with our true divine nature. Instead of erroneous beliefs and negative emotions, it's a discipline, and it requires mindfulness for us to do this consistently. And it really, really requires a deep commitment on our part to engage in the practice, myself included. And I say all the time, you all, being a minister, you get to live your life out loud. What does that mean? Publicly. Because we are working with these principles, these tools, and these ideas, and we're human too. And so we are here to be examples of what you can do and how you can use all of the information that we're sharing to transcend your life's reality. But we are human, so therefore, it's not easy. It's just as difficult for us as it is for anyone else. I think the only thing that distinguishes us is that we have taken vows. We have committed our lives to being examples, to living our lives publicly. Why? So that you know that you can do it too. Charles Fillmore taught that the correct use of denial and affirmation will eventually spiritualize your whole being, not just your intellect. So even in unity, Charles Fillmore is saying, yes, this requires steadfast, unwavering practice. So the first part of the verse of Revelation 2:17 tells us to listen, to develop the ear of the soul, to cultivate our awareness of our I am, and to sit in silence and be guided by Spirit. The last song that I heard before I walked into the building was, Lord, order my steps in your word. The next part of that Bible verse says, to everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. To all who see beyond appearances, I will give all that is needed to live. I don't know if you all know how powerful that is. To all who see beyond appearances. So whatever is going on in your life, if you can rise above it in your vision, I always say to myself, those are the facts, but that ain't the truth. Those are the facts of my circumstance, but they're not the absolute truth of my being. And so that's what that particular part of the scripture is saying. If you can see and look beyond what is appearing, Spirit said, I will give all that is needed. So what that means is all the worry, all the concern, all the doubt that we do, myself included, is really unnecessary. Is really unnecessary. But it's the ego that feels that it has to do its part, right? So today, also in renaming ourselves, name is another word for nature, biblically speaking, spiritually speaking. If we can change our nature, the Buddhists say, we don't have to suffer. We choose to suffer, but it's not necessary that we suffer. To everyone who conquers, that's another way of saying for anyone who overcomes adversity. It is not an outer war, but an inner war that requires our surrender. Meaning that we are in the world, but not of it. Yeah, all this is happening, but it's not my reality. It's not my truth. When we surrender to Spirit and we go within, then and only then do we conquer our fears. What a paradox. Only in surrender is there victory. Not an outer surrender or an outer victory, but an inner surrender, an inner victory of letting go of fear, letting go of doubt, letting go of confusion, and letting God be God as our lives. The Bible stories and the allegories, they provide examples of the way that God works through us, for us, with us. When we surrender. For instance, in the days of wandering in the wilderness, and I'm thinking of Moses in particular, manna was sent down every single day. And the people who followed Moses had only to go and collect this manna. They didn't have to do anything else. Why? Because they had surrendered. And when we surrender, God's promise is always filled. We are given hidden manna that is not visible to the world. We are given the peace that passes all understanding. We are also given a new source of energy and spiritual nourishment. This hidden manna is derived from our higher levels of being, our higher selves. It nourishes the soul and the body. And in the gospel, Jesus alludes to this very thing when he says to his disciples, I have food to eat that you know not of. This hidden manna is the vital life substance and energy of Spirit directly assimilated into our beingness. So the second part of the scripture of Revelation 2:17 is, and I will give a white stone. And on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. This is referring to the name or the word that Spirit whispers to you and only you in your time of connection and contemplation with Spirit. At this time in history, people believed that they had overcome. When they made their connections with the divine, then they received their new name. That new name was written on their stone for them to refer to remind themselves of who they said they want to be in this world. And this name, or this word, came directly from Spirit. No one else need intervene. No one else need be aware of your new name. That is your covenant with your God, the God of your understanding. It's your new nature. It's your freedom from bondage. Also in the Bible, there are many stories of name changes. For example, Saul, which metaphysically means personal will. He was struck to his knees. He was blind for 3 days. He couldn't see in the physical world, so it caused him to go within. He experienced a personal transformation, which changed him from persecuting Christians to helping Christians. He became a driving force behind the spread of Christianity and its survival in the Middle East. He was given a new name at the time of his awakening. Saul, personal will, was transmuted to Paul, which means enlightened will. He became that will that followed God's will. Abram, as he grew in spiritual awareness, became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. The change in name always signifies a change in consciousness. And it's usually an elevation of consciousness. So every name represented a quality. Every name in the Bible means a quality that was in the person who carried the name. In those times, you didn't choose a name for your child because you liked the name. You chose it for whatever essence you wanted the child to embody. So, for instance, my husband and I chose Sharif for our son, which means honorable and noble one. Those are the qualities that we wanted him to embody. We chose for Brianna, our daughter, a Celtic term. It means strength. We wanted her to be a strong woman in this world. And she's growing into that. She's evolving into that from this timid personality, this little mouse, into I stand in my own truth. My parents, like your parents, chose my name, Michelle. In Hebrew, it's the feminine of Michael, which means who is like God. So it's a constant reminder that I need to govern myself in a certain way because I am wearing a name that has significance and meaning. But guess what? You now get to choose. Those names were chosen. We chose for our children. My parents chose for me. But today you get to choose. You get to choose a new name if you want a new name. You get to choose a new nature should you desire a new nature. So I ask you all to hold your white stone in your hand. And I want you to prepare for the meditative part of the white stone ceremony. In this white stone consciousness of joy, victory, and overcoming, I know that the Father and I are one. In this white stone consciousness, we remember what God said to Moses, I am that I am. And in this higher I am consciousness, we listen, we learn our new name. And as we begin to really embody it, understand it, accept it, we experience a new realization of our true I am nature. We receive the hidden manna, our full potential, by consciously surrendering, letting go of what no longer serves us. That which we released in the burning bowl last Sunday. And by continuing our spiritual journey of prayer, contemplation, centering, and meditation, of denial and affirmation, we remember that God is all there is. There is nothing else, regardless of appearances. As we surrender and allow Spirit to speak to us, we make space for unlimited possibilities to become manifest in our lives. And in creating a space in our consciousness, we open ourselves to the infinite possibilities. And so I invite you now to consciously invoke the activity of Spirit, the Spirit of God, into your heart, into your mind, for the next few minutes as you just sit in the silence. A new title, a new vocation, a new avocation, and so I invite you to turn your attention back to this time and the space just for a few moments. In this time, The ushers are going to give you markers. And so quietly, just write your word on your white stone. Your word is either a new name, your new nature, or some quality that you choose to express in your life and in 2019. So when you're ready, just beckon for a marker, and you will receive. And so let's take that journey inward again. Just for a few moments, I want you to breathe in your new essence. Breathe in what God wants to express through you. And remember, whenever you take that white stone in your hand, see it as a symbol of new life. See it as a symbol of your new nature. One of faith, peace, hope, prosperity, and love. Feel the presence of the divine and know your oneness with it. Feel that loving presence of God as it surrounds and supports you. Know that in every moment you are safe and secure. You are loved and sustained by the omnipresence of Spirit. Behold, the Christ of God in each of us says, I make all things new. Breathe that in one last time. And exhale with an So in summary, the scripture that I referenced today was Revelations 2:17. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone, and on the white stone is written a new name, a new nature, that no one knows except the one who received it. To those that overcame, who moved forward with faith, a new name was given to you today. You are free. You have freed yourselves to live more fully, more consciously, aware of the activity of the whole of the Spirit of God in every aspect of your life. And in this recognition, we release ourselves from all bondage, the prison of limiting thoughts about ourselves, each other, our country, and our world. Anytime you look at your white stone, realize that you have the gift of choice. John wrote in the book of Revelations that the white stone carries a new name, the spiritual identity, and a deeper awareness of what God has planned for you. No one in the entire universe except you and God knows what that new name is. But it has come to you to be lived, to be expressed, to be embodied as you. It is what God is calling you to do. It is what God is calling you to be. It is a whisper from your soul that you are so much more than you have let come into expression as yet. Let us pray. Father, Mother God, I am one with thee. And it is in this awareness that I live and I move and I be. Thankfulness flows over me as I receive and accept my new name. Along with it comes the power and the guidance to achieve all that I desire. This is my new consciousness. I accept it. I am on the path to greater insight and to a deeper awareness of the presence of Spirit as me. Behold, all things are made new, and I take this white stone as a reminder of that truth. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen and Ashe.